Appreciate the prayer that's been offered. I'm going to go back again to 2 Peter chapter 1. We've been looking at the seven things that Peter, by inspiration of the Spirit, has said that we should add to faith. We've got two more tonight, and Lord willing, we'll hopefully we'll be able to cover those two. Last week, we talked about temperance, patience, and godliness. Wonderful things for us to add to faith, to grow in grace. You know, early in verse 3, he says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us. Later, it says, for if we add these things, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, if we are obedient to this scripture and try our best to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, then adding these things will help us to be more like Jesus. It'll help us to be more encouraging to our families and our friends and those around us. Will give more glory to God by the things that we're doing. We'll find more joy in life. I'm satisfied. Because this list of seven things, as we've already said, is similar to the fruit of the Spirit. It's similar to 1 Corinthians 13, where he speaks about charity and the many attributes of that, which, by the way, as we've gone through some of these, we've noticed some of the language that's spoken of about charity that ties in very nicely with each one of these seven things that we've been studying. So again, it just reinforces my persuasion that fruit of the Spirit, starting with love, and then as you go through that list, you're still growing in love as you go through each one of those. Okay, not that they're separate, but it's all fruit of the Spirit. And then with Peter, he started out with adding to your faith virtue, and he comes down to the last two things, which both of them both of them are love. So my persuasion is that all of these, as we approach and as we are bearing this type of fruit, it's all out of the love of God. All right? So really the lesson is love, isn't it? Now, godliness. We spoke about that last week, but relating that to 1 Corinthians 13, where part of what 1 Corinthians 13 says is, charity thinketh no evil. All right? Godliness is that which pleases God. And we noticed how that the testimony of Enoch was that he pleased God. His life was pleasing to the Lord. So you see how this just naturally flows into the two words that we'll be noticing tonight, or the two things that we'll notice when he says in verse 7, we're still talking about adding to faith, and to godliness, we're to add brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. Now, think about that, also in connection to 1 Corinthians 13. In 1 Corinthians 13, part of that says that we're not to envy, not to vaunt ourselves, and not to be puffed up. That's not the way you act toward somebody you love, your brother, sister, okay? This brotherly kindness is the phileo love that Scripture speaks of. brotherly love. You know, Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. At least that's the way it's named. I would that our city of Philadelphia in the United States would live up to that name. And I'm sure there's good folks there. The Church of Philadelphia in the seven churches of Asia, Philadelphia was the only one that had no rebuke from the Lord. The Lord said, I set before you an open door. Now, I believe that if we follow that example, that the Lord would do the same for us, don't you? Brotherly love. And didn't Jesus say, a new commandment I give unto you? And in the next verse he says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another,
to another.
Okay, so it's not a matter of just having it like our light and putting it under a bushel. No, it needs to be shown. The light needs to shine forth. The glory needs to be given to God because of what we're doing. Okay? So, brotherly kindness. This type of love is one of sharing things in common. If we're talking about brotherly love, then we might be talking about having a common birth. Okay? Well, doesn't God's people have a common birth? I mean, we're all family. You know, it's just easy for me. When I have the privilege of visiting a church that I've never visited before, or when I would have to travel all over the country and with the job that I had, and I would usually look for a place. You know, there wasn't too many places I could go on Wednesday night. Once in a while, I'd find some place. And I usually wasn't there on Sunday, but if there was an opportunity for me to meet some of the brethren in that area, like one in Denver, Colorado, one time I had breakfast with the brother there, one of the deacons. He may have been liberated by now. But anyway, what a blessing it is to go among what the world would say as strangers, and yet feel right at home and have good fellowship with somebody you've never met before because we're brethren. Isn't that a tremendous blessing that we have in this life? And we were all, as far as brethren is concerned, we're all pilgrims and strangers in this world. But God has given us his love, and he would have us to show that love to others and share that love. All right? And he, first John chapter 5. Let's see. I may not start that out just right. First John chapter 5, he says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Okay? And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So if we love God, it's because he first loved us. And if we love him, then we are to love his children, the rest of the family. Okay? So what a blessing that we have this brotherly kindness. And so the scriptures exhort us to grow in that, to enjoy it, to find that fellowship and have more opportunities if we can. And so show love one to another, that brotherly love, enjoy that fellowship, and not to prefer ourselves above our brethren. Okay? All the things that we as brethren have to enjoy, and yet, just like at the church at Thessalonica, the Apostle Paul commended them for the love that they had, but then he also exhorted them to continue to grow in it, that their love would abound. And so what a blessing that God has given that to us, and what a blessing it is that we have the privilege of growing in it, because that's what gives glory to his name. That's what adds sweetness to our life here, to enjoy fellowship among the brethren. What a blessing the church is. And so, like in Ephesians 4, the last two verses of that epistle, Paul in Ephesians 4, verse 31, tells us some things we're not to do. You know, what a hindrance these things would be to our fellowship and loving our brethren. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, you would think among brethren that that's just understood. You would think among brethren that we wouldn't have to worry about that. But we do. And so we need every word of Scripture. We need this teaching so that we can exercise ourselves and judge ourselves and walk in those paths of righteousness. And he tells us to let those kinds of things be put away. All right? With all malice. But then verse 32 tells us about what brotherly love is all about. Brotherly kindness. And be ye kind one to another. What a difference there would be if everybody did this. Well, I'm not being a pessimist here, but we know not everybody's going to do that. All right, so how about this? What if all of God's people did this? You know, we're just a small portion of the remnant. But what if we were all loving each other like we should, praying for one another like we should, showing forth the love of God to all? The Lord even told us to pray for our enemies. Not just those that treat you well, but those that don't treat you well, pray for them. If we were obeying those scriptures and letting our light shine brighter, there's no telling what the Lord would bless us with. Love. Loving one another. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. If you have love one to another, that's a big deal with the Lord. And it ought to be a big deal with us. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just simply saying there's a tremendous emphasis the Lord places on that subject. And we need to give it great attention in our lives. So again, he says, be ye kind, tenderhearted. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. You don't have to get on that. You don't know what that person did. No, I don't. I don't have to know what that person did. I know what the Lord says about it. Forgive. Oh, preacher, you're asking a lot. No, I'm not asking a lot. The Lord is. But he gives us a reason that will surpass any reason we have not to do it. We have a reason to do it, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There's nothing that's ever happened to you that's more than what Christ has forgiven us. End of argument. He tells us that's the reason why we are to be forgiven, because how much has God forgiven you for Christ's sake? He's not finished forgiving me. I come short every day. All right? So brotherly love is a tremendous subject. It is one I don't know that we give enough attention to. And as we've noticed here, there's many ways that love is expressed. Sometimes it's in long suffering. Sometimes it's in being patient. Sometimes it's being courageous and standing for what's right. All of those things express our love to God. And He's worthy of it. He's worthy of more than we'll ever be able to express to Him. That's why He's given us eternity. Because once we've got the right kind of heart and the right kind of mind, then we'll be able to praise Him as we should, and then we'll be able to do it eternally. And God will get the praise that He deserves. All right? So, brotherly kindness. We're to grow in that. We're to be adding that to faith. All right? Now, he says, add these things. And then toward the end, he says, for if these things be in you and abound. Well, if we don't give much attention to those things, they're not going to abound. All right? So it's very clear, the lesson is very clear that we need to be working on those things and trying to be mindful of how we're living our lives so that we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. All right? Brotherly kindness. The phileo type love. Fellowship and love among brethren. But then he moves on to the last of the seven things, and he says, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Here's the greatest love. Here's the love that God has for us. Now, I've got a word study book by Spyros Zodiates, and I refer to him a lot. And I want to, there's a definition that he, or a statement that he made with regard to this charity. He says that this agape, word agape, the noun form of this, is a word that's not in the classical Greek, but it's only in the scriptures. Okay? It's only used in the scriptures. And it's the benevolence that does what's needed rather than what a person wants. Just think for a moment, a parent taking care of a child. Sometimes you have to do something that you know the child doesn't want, but you know it's good for them. Now, there's plenty of times that you do something for them that they enjoy. But they don't always, you know, the recipient of this benevolence doesn't always think that that's what they need. But God, being the one who's expressing this, He knows perfectly what we need. And He knows when we need it. And there may be something we desire, but we can't handle it just yet. And so there may be something else that we need to grow in or learn before this other so we can appreciate it when we do have it. So, I mean, there's just all kinds of reasons why we should be content and be praying unto the Lord for that which He knows is best, because we know that He knows what is best. All right? So that this charity, this benevolence that God gives to us is what we need, not necessarily what we want. And it's what we, you know, He could be, hear me carefully, He could be good and holy and kind and give us something that we don't necessarily need. But he's more than that. He's good and holy and kind and all-knowing. He knows exactly what we need. And what he provides is perfectly suited to us, because he knows what we need. All right? So that's this highest form of this, this agape love. All right? The noun form of this. Now, this kind of love is the John 3:16 kind of love. Right? For God so loved the world that he gave. And real love gives. He didn't offer. You know, what portion of Christianity, and I use that term loosely, but what form, what portion of Christianity would say that John 3:16 is an offer of salvation? A large portion, wouldn't it? Well, it's better than that. It's not just, it's not an offer at all. It is a declaration of what God has done for us. God so loved the world that he gave. Now, we didn't have a heart. We didn't have a mind to desire it. We didn't have wisdom enough to ask for it. So we would never have asked for it. We would never have desired it. But God gave us what we needed. Isn't he good? Isn't he glorious? So he gave us what we needed. Not only that, but this kind of love has to be given to us before we know anything about it, before we appreciate it, before we can grow in it. I mean, God has to come to us. God has to give it to us. That's why 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. We were dead in trespasses and sins. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. So God gives us what we need in order that we can appreciate what he's done for us, that we can know it, appreciate it, use it, respond to him. He had to come to us first. And so this kind of love, this love that God has for us, like John would say in 1 John 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love. I mean, you need to think about it. You need to think about it a lot. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. It's unconditional. It's sacrificial. And it's unending. Sacrificial. Let's see, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. He gave us the best. Or Romans 8:32. I'm not getting the first word of that. What's the first word of that? Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? And the all things there, he's already told us up earlier in Romans chapter 8, the foreknowledge, the predestination, the justification, the calling, the glorification. But then Peter also says that he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He gave. Sacrificial. So he calls upon us to love one another, and we're to have the kind of love that he has for us, which we'll never get that perfect, but that is the mark, right? We press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. We press toward that. We try as best we can to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, to add these things so that we can love God more. So it's sacrificial, a sacrificial love. And so one of the tests then, if we're going to love like God loves, then it needs to be willing to sacrifice. It's also unconditional. Unconditional. In Ephesians 1 and 4, he says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So that gets it back before there could anything, before there could be anything in us, okay? Not anything in us, nor anything that we could do about it, okay? So according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Wow. No condition. No condition. Isn't God great? Holy, powerful, all-knowing. And he did that for us? Wow. And it's a love that's unending. You know, we're timely creatures. We have a problem with trying to understand eternal, no beginning and no ending. But it's easier for us at least to think of everlasting. So even though we're chosen in him before the foundation of the world, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, they follow me, and I give, there was that giving again, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall, what? Never. This is unending. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. It's unending. We are secure. God did it by love. Wow. God's love is amazing. And it's for us to enjoy. And it's for us to share. So the word, the agape love is the noun form. Agapeo. I don't know if I'm saying that right or not. Agapeo is the verb form. Okay. In other words, the action. Which speaks about God loves. All right. What he has done in his love, bless your hearts, we think about it, there's so much of, so many passages where he's expressing this. We could talk about what that love is, but there's so much that God has said about what that love does. And when I quoted John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. When you have love one to another, that love is expressing itself. It's active. That's when it's beneficial, isn't it? All right? And so the scriptures enjoin upon us to not only to enjoy that love and to rejoice in the kind of love that God has, but to share that love and to manifest that love in all that we do. What a blessing. What a calling. He's called us to glory and virtue, Peter said. And so may God help us to express that love better as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, so expressing this, in other words, showing love back to God. All right, His love, I said it's sacrificial, unconditional, unending, but it's also constant. Aren't you glad that His love for us is not tied to us? He's made us accepted in the beloved. And just like James said about God the Father, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. His love is constant. Now, obviously, our behavior has something to do with His fellowship and how much we enjoy the feeling of it, but His love for us is set. We are His for Jesus' sake. Hallelujah. That's good news to me. How about you? All right, so His love is constant. It's sacrificial, it's unconditional, it's unending. But He calls upon us to love Him and to love one another. So if we take those same tests and apply it to our love, what do we get? It's not as sacrificial. It's not as unconditional. We could try. And I know y'all do a whole lot better job of it than I do. I'm not trying to be critical or negative in any way here. I'm just trying to examine the scripture here. God's love for us. Yes. And like one of the last visits that I had with Brother Laszlo before he went home to be with the Lord, he said, God always loves us. We just don't know how to love Him back. And that makes a good point, doesn't it? That's what we have to work on. Now, I'm not saying we don't know how to love God, and I'm not saying we're not manifesting that, but the scripture here the passage that we're talking about here is telling us to grow, to add to our faith. And so no matter how wonderfully we show our love to God, there's always going to be room for improvement, and the Word of God is always going to be exhorting us to make that improvement. Because the moment we stop, this old flesh is going to be exerting its pressure upon us, and we're going to be going backwards. That's why we have to press into the kingdom. And Peter had told us here that if we add these things, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Not scantily, not now and then, abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior. All right. So if we would examine ourselves, examine our love. You know, Jesus said, as of John 15, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And that's exhorting us to continue in that toward God and toward one another. To continue in that love. And as Paul had a lot to say in Thessalonians about to those brethren about growing and abounding in that love. Okay? So we have the admonition then that as God has shown us this highest form of love and his is constant, then we're to try to strive to love as best we can. So if we take these thoughts and examine our own love, is our love sacrificial? Is there anything that we wouldn't give up to serve the Lord? You know, I oftentimes think about what the Lord called Abraham to do. Yeah. Take thy son. Mm-hmm. But Abraham did it. And he was blessed. I don't know what the Lord may have called upon you to do. That's something that is between us and the Lord. But we have the scriptures. His love is sacrificial. You know, it would be pointless to talk about what if this and what if that. Well, no. But we have the scriptures. So, sacrificial. How about unconditional? And our service to God, are we going to put any conditions on that? His was unconditional. What was that verse in Romans 5:8? But God hath commended God has commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to come to him. We wouldn't. We couldn't. He didn't wait for us to clean up our act. We wouldn't. We couldn't. His love came to us where we were. All the way down to where we were. That's love. So, how conditional is our love? You know, even like I don't want to be getting into something negative, but even with fellowship among brethren, sometimes we want to put conditions on that. And I understand we need to stand for the truth. You know, I'm not saying that, but love is strong. Powerful. So as we examine what our love is like, I think we need to remember what God's love is like and love like he loves. Okay? Okay, how about this? John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay? Well, I think we all here, might be a couple of exceptions, just because of their youth. We all here would say we love the Lord, and we do. We do. I don't doubt that in a moment. Okay. But he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So, is that sacrificial? What I'm trying to do at this point is examine our own love that we try to express to God in return for his perfect love he's given to us. So we should examine ourselves and ask ourselves, okay, is my love sacrificial? Is my love for God, my love for his people, is my love in his service, is it sacrificial? Is it conditional or is it unconditional? See, if we're going to get to the kind of love that he has for us, it needs to be the love like he loves. And I hope the picture I'm painting here is that there's a lot for us to work on. There is for me. Maybe there's some for you as well. Is our love sacrificial? Is our love unconditional? Is our love unending? Aren't you thankful that God doesn't start loving us and quit? But don't we see that in the world? God's love for us is unending. So when we think about this charity, which I like my old definition of, my old-fashioned definition of charity being love in action, remembering that love that God gave to me and you, unconditionally. And there's just, we'll be preaching the love of God till he comes again, and then we'll sing about it in all eternity. Amen. We'll never get it preached out. And I pray that none of us ever get tired of a subject, if it's being preached, on the love of God. But we see, hopefully we can see, there's a lot that we have to work on. But that's why we praise him. That's why we give him glory and honor. That's why we thank him. Because he had to reach so far down to where we were to show us that perfect love. And so the best we can do for the rest of our days is to show love in return. In however we need to do it. If it's patience, if it's long-suffering, if it's in gentleness, if whatever, however it manifests itself, to show that love that God has given to us, to manifest it to others. And make it abundantly clear that we are his disciples. That the world, that even though they may not appreciate it, they'd see it. The world at large is not ever going to love God. I don't care how eloquent, I don't care how much, I don't care whatever. Until God first reveals himself to them, we know that, they'll never love him. But bless your hearts, God's people, we can grow. And this is who Peter's writing to. writing to us right here tonight. He could have preached that right here tonight, because it means just as much tonight as it ever has, and it'll mean as much tomorrow and the next day and until Jesus comes again. This message, add to your faith. Keep adding. I don't care how good a job you're doing, keep adding. That's the message. Because that is what bears fruit. That is what gives glory to God. You know, John 15, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. John has an awful lot to say about love, doesn't he? And so when we think about all that we have in these seven things, some over the years, I included, have preached these are like keys to the kingdom. Because he said, if there be in you an abound, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. If we're not doing these things, if we're not abounding in these things, that entrance is not going to be ministered abundantly to us. Okay? So we think about Peter, by the inspiration of the Spirit, tells us these things. So sometimes this love is spoken of as like a noun, when it tells us, well, like I quoted to you John 15, was it 9, I believe it is. It says, as the Father hath loved me, that's action of the Father loving him, so have I loved you, that's action of him loving us, continue ye in my love. That's the noun form, but that's what we're working for, to continue in the love of God. Let's see, didn't Jude say something like that? Keep yourselves in the love of God. It's a universal message among all the scriptures. The great commandment, the Old Testament. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Jesus quotes it in the New. It was still the first and great commandment. In the New Testament, it will be the first and great commandment forever to love the Lord first and foremost. The Lord summarized the rest of the commandments by saying, and to love thy neighbors thyself, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Paul to the Romans, I believe it was, he said, he that loveth hath fulfilled the law. James spoke about the royal law. There's no greater subject in all the scriptures. And so, as Peter, by inspiration of the Spirit, comes to the end of this list, there's more to the chapter, but at the end of this list of seven things to add to faith, he gets to the highest point. Love. Charity. Charity. There's no greater endeavor we can make in this life than try to love God like he loves us and to love one another in the same way. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll probably have more to say about this chapter before we leave that subject. But brotherly love, and the highest love. May God help us to love one another. And God bless you is our prayer. Amen.